Leanne Hart is a mighty servant to God who wears many hats. Be sure to share this podcast, like it, and review it. Also follow Leanne Hart on all her social media platforms.
Hey everybody, this is Leanne Hart with Leanne Hart Ministries, and wow, what a dish of goodness and excitement I have for you today with my girlfriend Shelly Zan. She is sitting across the table from me, drove up to the house like 3 hours south of me from Cossey. Would you say it was not?
It's Posse with a K.
Posse with a K.
That's right.
Cossey, Texas. A few months ago, I got to visit her at her church at Common Ground Cowboy Church. Got to go back not long ago and kind of hang out with you and your family.
Yeah.
You got to come and hang up with me today with my family. Got to meet JW. He's now recruiting you to be part of the ranch rodeo of whatever that may look like
at some point. As long as he works the ground.
Yeah, because, you know, you are the top hand. You've got your buckle on today. Yeah. He was cracking up about that. But and we could sit and we could just talk about all the things that we have in common and where we are and what God has for us. But I really believe that there's a message that God has for you to share. And I've been so excited about this day. We've been actually trying to carve out some time for you to come or for us to get together, sit and talk about what the Lord has been doing inside of your heart, inside of your home, inside of the ministry that He has placed in your hands. And that's what we've been doing today. We've been talking about scripture. We've been talking about all the goodness of God and growing in God and what that actually looks like. So there's some new things that you are about to be doing, but we've been talking about a lot of things in your life today. And I just want to open up the floor, invite you to just pour out your heart, what God has laid on your heart for this moment, for this time, because it's going to grow. Like, God is doing something inside of you that it just cannot be contained. So, Shelly Zan, get it, girl.
That's right. Get it. I'm ready to get it. I'm excited.
I like saying your whole name.
Yeah, Shelly Zan.
Yeah, like Shelly Zan.
Yeah, you know, before I was Shelly Zan, I was Shelly Jones. And like nobody ever just said Shelly. Like, I was never that person. So I'm super excited for such a time as this. I know that God has spent my entire life orchestrating what is happening right now. And it's pretty awesome to be able to sit back and reflect on that. You know, I did. I grew up in church. I received Jesus at a young age of 9. And He's been good to me, you know, even before that. But I do know that now He has laid something on my plate, that I don't even have to give any acknowledgement to anything of myself other than Him, because that's how good He is. And so it can't be the Shelly Show, you know. I love testimonies, but I do know that my testimony in all of ours, if it doesn't point back to the Word of God, He's the one that does the change. And our stories should encourage each other and relate to each other, but it always has to tie back into Him. Yeah. And I'm truly at a point in my life where that's all I want. That's what I crave.
Yeah,
I truly crave being able for others to see Him and the way that He can affect their lives, and that He's just not a God that comes to Leanne's or Shelly's.
Right.
He's a God that comes to all.
He said everyone. We were reading in John 4 earlier.
Yeah.
And he said, this is water that's available to everyone, everybody.
That's right.
Yeah.
Everybody. Your
that's
mama, right. Your daddy.
That's right.
That's right.
All the people.
So I am. I'm excited. I accepted Christ, as I said, but I didn't live like He was my Lord. I kind of had my insurance, as you know, you hear people say. But by the way I talked, the way I spoke, the way I treated people, you really wouldn't have known it. I wasn't the person that everybody ran to wanting prayer. And if you are a person that someone comes and says, hey, will you pray for somebody? Know that that is such a huge compliment.
Right.
Because that means you're living in a way where other people acknowledge that you go to the Father.
Yeah.
And they seek Him. But I wasn't that person for a long time. I just wasn't, for a lot of reasons. You know, the enemy convinced me that His way was better, and I tried it. Trust me, I've done so many unspeakable things to try to test those waters. But God always, He hovered over me, like we were talking earlier, and I'm so thankful that He did.
Yeah.
But last year, I came to a point in my life where I said, you know what, Lord, I want Your light to shine in every room in my house, every room. I don't even want to keep the garage.
Yeah.
I need You to expose everything. And He started restoring things that I had even forgotten the enemy had a hold of. Right. You know, 'cause we do that with sin. We really do. We guard things.
That's right.
That we don't want him to restore. Because we do. We want to keep it the way that it is.
Yeah.
But I said, you know what, Lord, I want you to have my marriage. I want you to have my kids. And he said, all right, Shelly, I'm going to take those, but I want every aspect of your life also.
Yeah.
And so from that, he has laid some things on my heart about what that looks like, about just being a disciple, not just being a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was a Christian, I did belong to Christ for a long time, but I didn't try to seek to lead others to him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I want to do.
Do you feel it's like because that fruit in your life wasn't being exposed? It was like you were still under the ground. Like you're buried. Your old life is in the dirt, but there's no fruit coming. You're just kind of resisting that growth.
That's it. It was just stagnant in a sense, even though I was, because he's faithful and he was still working on me, you know,
mm-hmm.
There's so many ways. But to truly voice it and say, okay, I'm ready to be transparent. I was scared to death. And the enemy wanted me to feel that way. Like he loves for you to feel embarrassed.
Yeah.
He loves for to have any kind of hold on you just a little bit. He didn't even ask for a lot.
Mm-mm.
But the thing is, if anything separates us, he's won.
That's right.
Even though he hasn't won our soul, he's won the effect we can have on earth.
That's good.
And that's what he wants.
Mm-hmm.
Once he loses us, okay, great. But he wants to then be able to capture
the
identity and the effect that we're going to have bring others to the kingdom of God.
Yes.
And so I just came to the point that I didn't want to do that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's initially how all of this got started, was me saying, okay, Lord, whatever you lay in front of me, I promise I'll water it.
Yes.
You give me the tool and you give me the seeds. And that's all you want me to do. And he's like, yeah. That's all I want you to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in Luke chapter 8, he talks about, and this is what really uncovered it for me, was he talks about a lamp, a light isn't hidden under a bed, and everything that happens in the darkness will be exposed.
Yeah.
And that's what terrified me. And I was like, you know what, Lord, I'm not terrified anymore, because you want what's good for me.
Mm-hmm.
But until you understand what God wants for you, you will believe what the enemy tells you God wants for you, because
right.
you don't know it of yourself. That's why the word of God in this book that we have access to is so important.
Right.
It's so important.
When you were saying that about Luke, I've just got my Bible open to Galatians, and I just looked down and I was like, what in the world? I wrote a note where it says glory light. But under that I have a specific scripture that's underlined, and it's out of the Message version. It says, for there is a root of sinful self-interest in us that is at odds with a free spirit. Just as the free spirit is incompatible with selfishness, these two ways of life are contrary to each other, so that you cannot live at times one way and at times another way according to how you feel on any given day. Why do you choose to be led by the spirit? So escape the erratic compulsions of a law-dominated existence.
That's good.
And so, like, when you say expose it, you're saying eliminate absolutely everything, every falsehood, every bit of the powers of darkness that are trying to come against us, that are trying to not allow me to expose what God's doing in my life. You are like, mm-hmm. I want it exposed,
mm-hmm.
whatever that may be, however that may
That's
Look.
It. That's it. Because we pray for healing and for him to do a work in our lives, but we don't want it to be in every area of our lives.
Mm, yeah.
And that's not true surrender.
That's so good.
It's just not true surrender. And he loves us so much that when he died on the cross, it wasn't just for parts of us. It was for all of us. And so he deserves that back. Yeah. Like in Luke 18:27, I love the verse, because he said, what's impossible with man is possible with God, right?
Yeah.
And so it's not possible for me to try to change my habits and be a better Shelly.
Yes.
It's just not.
Yeah.
And I'm thankful it's not.
It's so hard.
Oh, I know.
Like, don't you get exhausted thinking about the
That's
process?
Right. That's right. Every day, I'm going to do the better, Lord. How many times have we made this vow? Like, okay, Lord, if you'll take it, I won't. No.
Yeah.
But the thing is, we can't on our own, and he wants it that way because he wants the credit.
That's right.
Not because he is, you know, domineering. It's because he took the bad for us on the cross, so he deserves credit for the good in us.
Well, and two, the enemy wants you, he doesn't want you to know the power of your praise.
That's right.
Because he used to be that worship leader,
mm-hmm.
right? And so he knows the power of praise when we give the glory to God.
Mm-hmm.
So he wants us to live in a lie where you can't praise, you can't worship, you can't be in freedom of this moment. You can't give glory to God, because he knows what happens.
Mm-hmm.
You start to glorify God, and God starts to glorify through you.
Mm-hmm.
And this effect, like, you start to light things up around you, and automatically we start to grow people around us, because the light on us starts to illuminate all the things, right? And starts to raise up all this. And then we know and we have access to speak to it, to act in accordance with it, mm-hmm. to help others grow out of something and into something new, to mm-hmm. see where they're being strangled, and to automatically say, we need to help you get, like we were talking about earlier, move from one atmosphere to another, because you've only grown so much in this area because you're just like here. But God wants you to, like you said, that wholeness in your life. I was telling Bert this just the other day. I said, Bert, Jesus did not just walk out of that cave with his foot mm-hmm. or with a hand That's or right. with his heart. Like his full, like fully, top to bottom, bottom to top, his whole body came mm-hmm. out, and he was fully healed right then and there, right? Like, so like we look at ourselves and we try to, you know where I'm
yeah,
going?
Yeah. You know, when you talk about praise, man, I love Psalms 150 verse 6. Let everything that has breath praise
everything.
The Lord. What is praise? It's thanksgiving.
That's right.
And when we're giving thanks to God, the devil can't inhabit that same area.
No.
So when you feel under attack, if you'll start being thankful to him, he has to leave, right? He has to flee. But the thing is here's what praise is for me. When God specifically spoke to me about this Bible study, he said, how you praise me is by walking in the purpose that I have for you.
Yeah.
Well, how did you know?
How did you identify that purpose? So get to the Bible study, like dig into that, because I know that there's going to be a time for you to share your testimony, and I'm excited for that. And it doesn't have to be here today. Mm-hmm. I'm excited for you to share what God is doing. You have said, I respond to the calling.
That's right.
And so share that.
And whatever that looks like, you know, I love that you use that word, the calling, because all that is an answer. Think about our cell phones. If I call you, I'm like, Haley, which I do all the time. I'm like, Haley, you have to answer, right? Right. But how many times in my life has God called me, but I press, you know what I mean? I keep pushing that button to declining. So this is the time I've answered the phone. This isn't something initially, I'm shocked, why me? But I don't have to be shocked, right? Because if I initially say, like, Lord, use me for you, whatever that may be, because I can tell you, Leanne, I don't know what this looks like, right?
Right.
I'm not a reader. I said that earlier, like, I'm not a reader, much less a writer, like, I promise you, I've probably read 5 books front to end. Mm-hmm. 2 of them have been in the past year because you gave them to me. And one of them was 50 Shades of Grey. So all you real Christians out there, you know what I mean? So whenever
I look at the... No, that wasn't 50 Shades of Grey. The I gave you?
No, I'm talking about... Oh. 50 Shades of Grey is a terrible book.
Oh,
it's terrible. It's pornography in a book.
I started feeling the red coming up. I gave you 50 Shades of Grey.
No. That's what I mean. So think about 5 full books.
Yes.
One of them is the terrible.
Yeah.
And 2 are, okay, that's what I'm talking about, how my realm of literature is here, okay?
Okay, I was just thinking, oh my gosh, I'm getting so red right now.
I made everybody question Leanne. I made everybody question. No.
There is a book that I have given to a lot of people about.
Wait, I know which book you're talking about because it contradicts.
Yes,
it's basically, yes. Absolutely. I know exactly what you're right. So anyway,
The Good Girl's Guide to Great Sex. Y'all all need to know about it.
That's okay? Right.
The Good Girl's Guide to Great Sex. It's got lots of Christian influences in there that are like, listen, you need to know what is good and what is not.
That's right. For married people.
For married people.
So we did. I started thinking about writing this stuff down, and how it started off was just ideas that the Holy Spirit gave me.
Yeah.
That I just truly said, okay, Lord, you have the pen. I'll get the piece of paper, whatever it is. And so I did. I received that for myself, and I knew that. But once he let on my heart that it would be something bigger than what I was.
Yeah.
I knew that I had to walk in that, even though I wasn't qualified, because like I say, I'm not even a reader, much less a writer, but he is, and he wrote the greatest book mm-hmm. we will ever have access to.
Mm-hmm.
And so I knew that if he, all these scriptures that he had orchestrated and the way that they affected my heart and impacted me, I wanted it to be able to impact other people.
Yeah.
But it couldn't do that if I just held on to it.
Right.
And so I was like, okay, Lord, let's do the thing. And so it is, it's going to be a Bible study that, I encourage everybody to kind of jump on with. It is a baby stage, okay? It is legit, just came out of the womb, fresh. And so I'm excited about that because I love being able to reflect on what it looks like because it is new for me. And there's nothing more joyful than bringing a baby home from the hospital and you're just like, what do I do with this thing?
Right.
That's how I feel right now.
Mm.
I feel like, okay, how do we do this?
Yeah.
Because I don't know, but he does. And so I know that he has told me through scripture that I do have his favor, because anything in his name that brings glory to him does.
Right.
And so I'm okay with that. And mm-hmm. so I know that I don't know who it's for or why me or who it's going to impact. But I know that if anyone does this, they will grow closer in their walk.
Mm-hmm.
Because any time that we bring scripture into our lives and we hold that, and we read it and we implement it, that we grow closer.
Right.
And so that's the goal of this whole Bible study, is about being a disciple, what that looks like, what his disciples were like, why he calls us to be a disciple. And one thing that I loved is in the Great Commission, and we all know that verse in Matthew, but he didn't give the disciples that order and that command to go make disciples of all nations till after his purpose was fulfilled. He had dwelled with them for so long, but he never said, hey, once I leave, y'all go make... He waited till his purpose on the cross and he was resurrected and he dwelled with them again to say, okay, now it's go time for you. And it's go time for us. It's go time for you, for Liam. You know, whatever we do in life, it's go time for us. Mm-hmm. And so we have to walk in that. And he has called us to all be disciples of him, to be a follower of the teacher.
Mm-hmm. You know, in the world that we live in today, have you found that when you're talking to people and you use the word disciples, are you getting any pushback?
I think the people really truly don't know what the word means. I think this is just for me. They really think that that was just an orchestrated word to go to people back then.
Mm-hmm.
Like Jesus' 12 disciples. They don't ever consider that to be a badge that they're supposed to wear. I didn't. And I can say that with authority because I was one of them.
Yeah.
I was one of those people that truly did know that, oh, I'm called to be a Peter, James, and John. I'm called to be that? Like, what?
Mm-hmm.
No, yeah, I am. And yeah. I'm supposed to draw others to be that too, because I do want to be a true follower of him.
And it doesn't always look like a platform like this.
That's right.
You know.
And that's okay. And, you know, me and Wesley, we've been leading the youth ministry for 3 years, and that was shoes we were not even ready to fill. We didn't even know what that was. I can tell you so many stories and testimonies, but I do know that this was a start of me digging in my word, because there's no way to dig in your word unless you have to draw it out to somebody else. Mm-hmm. And so God, that was when the transformation, I would say, in doing these kind of things really started for us, for me especially.
Yeah.
And to know that through him, he gives me the crown of confidence.
Yeah.
So talking about him, I should never be intimidated with.
Sure.
Because the only way you're intimidated by talking about it is if you don't know him.
Mm-hmm.
But if you know him, you should be comfortable talking about it.
I think a lot of people know parts of him, but not the fullness of...
Knowing of him, not mm-hmm. truly him.
Yeah. And that resides in our own identity, mm-hmm. you know, and you start to see insecurities and start to recognize insecurities in ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
I was looking at this verse that I had been studying out a couple of months ago in 2 Thessalonians 3:7. In the Amplified Version, it says, "For you yourselves know you ought to follow our example, because we did not act in an undisciplined or inappropriate manner when we were with you. We were never idle or lazy, nor did we avoid our duties." But I like that version, but I love the King James Version, because it says, "For yourselves know how ye ought to follow us, for we behave not of ourselves disorderly amongst you." And in the Greek, "ye ought," which I love that because that's familiar. My grandma used to say,
"Oh yeah,
y'all do it like this."
Yeah,
you know. And so, taken from the Greek, it's DEI, which is pronounced as day, which means you should. Paul couldn't command it; it was an invitation, and that's what the discipleship is. Like, God did not command; Jesus did not command. He was like, "I'm inviting you to follow me." It might sound abrasive for some. Sometimes when we look at it, especially when it says, leave behind everything else and follow me.
That's it.
That's not, it's people don't really understand, and they try to wrap their mind around it. And we say, "Oh, I pick up and leave my house. I leave my family. I leave this. I leave that. I leave that." It's those principalities
yeah.
that are not helpful for you, that are harmful for you, that are trying to be those thieves that are coming to steal, kill, and destroy. It's saying expose, like you said, bring it to the light.
That's it.
Expose it here.
Mm-hmm.
And leave all that other stuff that has been sucking the life out of you that's not even real. You can't even take it to heaven. You know, like, and people, it does necessarily talk about, sometimes people are those unhealthy things for you.
It does. And, you know, the thing about being a disciple to me is it truly is, and the church in general, the church truly, you know, we're all about salvation, bringing them to Jesus. But then we leave them. Discipling somebody is truly helping them with the rest of their journey, right? Mm-hmm. Showing them the scripture, showing them the word, right?
Do you suggest other people should, like, check, who are you discipling? You know, like, are you...
In this study, we're going to uncover that.
Yeah.
In this study, one of the weeks, and you'll hear about it if you do it,
yeah.
it is like, who am I supposed to disciple?
Mm-hmm.
Because we all think we know who we need to disciple.
That's good.
Come on, right?
Yeah.
We're all like, oh, I need to. Here's the deal. Most of the time, who you're called to disciple does not have your same last name. Mm-hmm. You want it to, and you want to run their show. But when you truly seek Holy Spirit, the people that you're called to disciple, they probably don't have the same hobbies as you. They may not look like you. They not may not be the same color as you, the same age as you. Sometimes they are.
Yeah.
But we want to put God in a box on how he can use us. When you're a disciple of the teacher, he tells you who to teach.
So are you actively discipling someone now?
Absolutely. I truly, God has laid on my heart, I need to just always at all times have someone who I disciple and someone who disciples me. Mm. At all times.
Good.
That doesn't mean that they need to know more theology than I do, sure, necessarily, because I'm also a believer, and people say, well, I can't disciple. And in this study, we're going to uncover that. Mm-hmm. She's like, what do you mean you want me to be a disciple?
Yeah.
You don't need to know this whole book, chapter and verse and have it all memorized, but you better know what Jesus Christ did for you.
Well, and if you're inviting somebody to follow your example, you better check your example. That's you better it. Be examining yourself every day. I was thinking about, like, Paul, can, you know, and I keep going back to Paul last night at Life Group. They were like, you're putting Paul on a pedestal. And I was like, he's a lot, you know. Uh-huh. And so, like, he never said he was perfect. And I appreciate that. Like, he was just, like, faithful to follow Jesus. Uh-huh. But Paul is the one encouraging you to not expose your stuff, but be sure that when you do expose it, you leave it there.
That's right.
Like, in the pasture and in the pen, like, he wasn't perfect. So I've enjoyed studying Paul more than anyone in a long time in the Bible. And I love Moses.
Yeah.
We're going to be friends in heaven.
Yeah.
We're already friends now, you know. Yeah. And so, but I love this message version where it says that Paul's encouraging us. Like, I look at it like he's still encouraging us today through the inspired word of God. In Galatians verses 19 through 21, it says, what actually took place is this. I tried keeping rules and working my head off to please God, and it just didn't work. So I quit being a lawman so that I could be God's man. Christ's life showed me how and enabled me to do it. I identified myself completely with him. Indeed, I have been crucified with Christ. My ego is no longer central. It is no longer important that I appear righteous before you or have your good opinion, and I'm no longer driven to impress God. Christ lives in me. The life you see me living is not mine, but it is lived by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I am not going back on that.
It's good.
And I love that so much. Like, discipleship is like, you do need to count the cost of what that's going to look like. But the thing is, Jesus has already paid for your life. Your life has value. Your life has worth. And so ask him, Lord, what did you pay for?
That's it.
What does all that involve? Mm-hmm. What, my family, my friends, like my kids, what is it? Because I don't think we really fully understand. And then we start to live it out, walk it out. And it's our words, it's our actions, it's our choices. It's all the things. But what we have access to is greater than what is able to influence us in the world.
Well, and sometimes the things that he reveals to us that he has already covered on the cross, like you said, show me what you've already covered.
Yes.
We don't want to give up those things.
That's right.
As sin.
Yeah.
We still want to keep those.
It's
and not
idolatry.
Say,
like, right. I keep hearing the idolatry. Like, people, like, what, when you think about priorities, mm-hmm. you know, what is number one in your life? Is it God or is it social media?
That's right.
I'm sure with your youth, you've encountered lots of things that were out of line priorities.
Absolutely. And it just opens up our own minds to whatever we have, you know, and I think that that's how God intends for it to be. It's always a growth process.
Yeah.
And, you know, for a long time, I thought that he just wanted to draw everything that I thought I wanted out, and it was going to be this boring Christian life. And it was just going to be, because we do. The devil makes you really think that this is, but here's the deal. If you only knew, you think that you have it all, but you have no clue what you're missing.
Yeah. Like,
until you do it.
I just couldn't even imagine.
You have no idea. And I think that for me, and I pulled up this verse because this, if this isn't slap you in the face, I don't know what will. Mm. Okay. Matthew 10. Verse 32 and 33, whoever acknowledges me before others, I will acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before others, I will disown him before my Father in heaven. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to tell you that's a scary place to be. Matthew 10, verse 32 and 33.
Good. Yeah.
See what it says in yours.
32 and 33, stand up for me against world opinion.
Ho, ho.
And I'll stand up for you before my Father in heaven. If you turn tail and run, do you think I'll cover for you?
That's so good. I mean, how, that's fire, right? Yeah. And that's what I want to say is like, you know what, Lord?
Ooh, and then it says this, don't think I've come to make life cozy. I've come to cut, make a sharp knife cut between son and father, daughter and mother, bride and mother-in-law, cut through those cozy domestic arrangements and free you for God. Like, you cut hair for a living.
That's right. What? That's right. And, you know, I love the word cut because in Hebrews, that's what it says the word of God is to us, right?
Yes.
It's sharp.
Sharper
but,
than
but
any
we don't. But
sword.
This Christian influence that we have
yeah.
going on right now, we want to put a buffer on everything.
Sure.
We don't want to let God cut.
Right.
We don't want to let him strip us away of whatever sin that we're holding on to.
Yep. Keep going.
So,
yeah.
It's just something that we have to ask ourselves, what do we want to do, you know?
Yeah.
And that's... This study, it does get pretty personal. Not that we have to share it out loud.
Right.
But you got to get let God get personal yeah. with you.
Yeah.
You have to. In order to be in a relationship with him, you have to be personal with him.
Yeah.
And that's what he wants, and that's what he died for.
That's
he
right.
died to reconcile us so that we can be personal with God the Father.
Yeah.
But we're
yeah.
the ones that want to hold back and not accept that and yeah. not truly walk in it and let him dwell with us.
That's right.
And that's where I don't want to be anymore. You
yeah.
know?
That complacent area, that cozy area. You're mm-hmm. like, I'm all right if you need to cut something off of me because it's going to heal.
That's it. That's
you
it.
Know,
and it's going to come back better than ever.
It's going to come back better than ever. On your Bible study, do you have sort of an agenda? Like a stacker?
We do. We do. So the ministry in itself, the page, if you will, is called Impact Over Influence. But this actual disciple, which is a page you can follow. It'll be a podcast, Facebook video. I'm teaching it live at our church. So three avenues, you have no reason to miss out.
Right.
You can listen in an ear pod. You can do whatever you got to do.
Mm-hmm.
But it's going to start. We're starting that next week. On the 16th, it'll be live. On the 17th is when you can access it. So if you go follow it now, you can be able to start from the top with us because this okay. is brand new.
And it's on Instagram.
It's on all the things.
So we'll have to post all of that. Like,
that's
whenever
right.
we do this.
That's
I
right.
I want to be able to
YouTube.
To make sure.
It'll be YouTube. The same video that goes on Facebook will be also on a YouTube channel. So,
are you so excited about this access?
I am. And you know what's so funny is God's placed so many people in my life to make this possible. And they would die if I shouted them out. And God
guys,
knows who they are.
I'm going to like, just if anybody hears JW talking in the background, we're not going to slow down. We're still doing life around here. We got dogs barking. We got cutting grass going on outside. And we got spurs walking through the house. So we're... This is definitely not the perfect podcast. So I'm
all
right
perfect.
With it.
It's yeah. perfect. God's yeah. speaking to some. God's already spoke to somebody through this.
I know.
27
already.
Minutes, so
absolutely.
That's what it's for.
So share about the person. How you?
Yes. So when all this kind of got laid on my heart, I'm not a tech person at all.
Right.
But God said I don't need to be because He's going to place somebody in my life who is, and so they are a part. It's actually a team. It really is. I've got people that we've been praying. Every person that has signed up to this far, we've got 112. That have signed
so
up.
So awesome.
And I've got people praying over
you
their
names
specifically.
You're going to have 114 in a minute because Bert and I are going
yeah,
to sign up.
Yeah, good. And I got people praying over their names specifically because I want to go ahead and start, even before the band-aid gets ripped off, I want them being lifted up to the throne of saying, okay, Lord, speak to their heart and however that may be.
Yeah.
And he is because he's awesome and he's faithful and he's intentional mm-hmm. and he's specific. You know, when he comes to people when he lived on the earth, he met them on the road. And that's what he's going to do to them. He's going to meet you in the gym. He's going to meet you in your car. I don't know what that looks like, but he does.
Yeah.
And I just want to be a vessel that he can, and the piece of conduit that is used for his power through his word to get to you. That's the whole goal of this whole deal.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're teaching how people how to foster that, how to build bridges, how to make connections, how to listen into culture and to society and how to plug in and have conversation
mm-hmm.
with them.
Because it has to be. And that's what discipleship is. Me and you, this is discipleship.
Yeah.
That's what it is. And if we can make it that simple, it doesn't seem hard. Yeah. It doesn't seem like a burden or a name tag that we don't want to wear. Instead, we want to embrace it and be like, well, I want to be one of those.
Right.
And why wouldn't we, you know? And Jesus did call some people like, a person that I've related to in the Bible, oh man, is Nicodemus. And you know, he was churchy, you know?
Right.
And he had this Pharisee stamp on him. But when Jesus came to him the most known chapter in the Bible is John 3, right?
Right.
That's who he was talking to.
That's right.
Was Nicodemus.
Yep.
And he did it at night because we don't
yeah.
even know. We weren't there. But to me, it was because he wanted to be hidden. But he knew and he said, you know what? You are the Messiah, aren't you? He said, yes, I am. But Nicodemus wasn't a disciple.
Yeah.
So tell me why that happened. Mm-hmm. And then tell me why Nicodemus, though, once his body was buried, who prepared Jesus' body in the tomb? Nicodemus. So here's my deal. He chose not to follow him right then, but he still knew who he was. And that was me. I knew who he was, and I accepted him to my heart, and I was going to heaven.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't walk in the road with him.
That's right.
And I'm not going to do that anymore.
You know, it's like looking, we were talking about seeds, mm-hmm. and we were talking about that, and I've been teaching on the seed is germinating. Like, I believe that we, as the body of Christ, and I'm excited to see how you're going to help foster this, but we, as the body of Christ, are very pregnant with the truth.
Yeah.
But people don't know how to birth it. They don't know how to speak the truth or release the truth. It's like the body of Christ is housing the Holy Spirit. Like, they've got the seed on the inside, but they're not. It's like, oh, this is really uncomfortable to allow people to see this part of me. How do I release this? How do I say the truth? How do I do it in love? How do I do it like Jesus? Well, you get to learn about Jesus.
You learn his word.
And when we were talking about Paul earlier, you know, Paul, he responded automatically to that calling. He answered that call, and he automatically started. He got kicked out of Damascus. Like, I mean, like, he was, like, already being persecuted because he had already started transitioning from something old into something new. That water had saturated him. The water of the word of God, Jesus himself, saturated him so much that when the scales fell off, it's like picturing a seed going into the dirt, yeah. The water fully, you know, infiltrating that seed and filling that seed up, and automatically that outer hard shell fell off of his eyes, and he just started growing, and it flipped and freaked everybody out, because that was not the Saul. They knew mm-hmm. him as Saul, not as Paul. That was not the guy they knew. They knew him as a persecutor, that somebody was coming after, you know, the Christians to kill him because they were flaring up a riot whenever they was on the right side of the word.
He shook them all up.
Yeah.
He shook them all up. You know, I'm envious of testimonies like Paul's, the true, like, shakenings.
Like, boom.
Right?
Me too.
Like the Phil Robertsons that are like, one day I was this, now I'm this, because I wasn't that.
Yeah.
See, I'm one of these that been hearing and but not implementing.
I think J.W. Hart would probably say I'm the one that when I fell off in that bucket, I was the weirdo. I was the one, and he didn't understand it. He didn't get it. Like, he was like, what is wrong with you? You know, why are you always talking about Jesus? And it was because he had just come and flipped my whole world upside down. Like, our marriage was repaired, like, right then.
Yeah.
And we didn't even know the magnitude of that. And it was just, I was repaired. Right. I was like, he said, I'm going to do a new thing.
That's right.
So I'd like to give you this new, if you just let me have this, I'll do something with it. But I can't do it if you don't let me have it, because I'm a gentleman.
That's right. And he'll never force us. And I think a lot of us, we think that he will, or we want him to.
Yeah.
And he never will. He is not, whether it be your salvation, whatever, he is never going to, he will push into you, but he will never force you into anything. Because ultimately, it has to be our choice. And it has been since the beginning. Adam and Eve, they had a choice.
Yeah.
He gave them direction. He pressed in them, gave them an order and a command, but they still had to choose to disobey.
Yeah. You know,
it's
Mac,
a choice.
A few months ago, we were somewhere, and I always ask her, every now and then I'll say, can you take notes? And she's 13 years old, so I love it when she grabs a hold of a nugget and she releases that to me, and I'm like, why did I stand up there for 45 minutes teaching? That's so good. Why didn't you tell me that when you got that?
Yeah.
I just said that, mic drop, and walked off.
Yeah, yeah.
And she, we were in the car, and I said, listen, did you get anything? What was your takeaways? She said, well, I guess all I really got was that God doesn't really want to control me. He wants to transform me.
That's it.
And I'm like, duh. Like, you know, like, if we just got that part, like, he doesn't want to control me. Like, he wants to transform me into his image. You know, he wants me to grow into who I was created to be.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he created me in his image. And we don't always, we don't know what that looks like, because that might wreck out our plans.
Yeah.
Of who we think we're supposed to be.
That's right.
You talked about influencers earlier.
Yeah. And, you know, I think that we live in a time, and that's a big deal. And that is awesome. It truly is. The fact that you can use a device like a cell phone or whatever to truly influence people in a different way of life. But I also know that there's no life coach. There's no self-help book. There's no any kind of way that you can be used to encourage somebody. If you are not pointing them to Jesus, it will never have an impact.
Right.
It just won't.
Right.
You know, it just won't. And you can do whatever you want to and lead them in whatever way. Or and, you know, we're living in a time where somebody will advertise a purse that somebody ain't paid their light bill. But by God, you told them that it's on sale and they're going to buy it.
Yeah.
And it truly makes, and I, you know, I love all the things. I'm not knocking it. I'm not knocking influencing. But what I am knocking is they can be us not wanting to be an impact.
That's right.
If your tool in your life and the way that what your purpose is to lead somebody, but it not be towards Jesus, then we got it wrong. And so, once again, we have to take off that buffer that we're wanting to make everybody all these things and put God in this box, that we have to truly show them who he is and what his word says.
Yeah.
Because it's the only thing that will stand.
Yeah.
And it's the only thing, you know, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word.
That's right.
It doesn't go anywhere.
No.
So let's give them the word.
Yeah.
And that's not always the most glamorous thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm okay with
that. I am the girl. I'm the weird girl. Yeah. Especially, you know, with, I love professional bull riding. I love the PBR, but I've had women say to me that I'm, you know, more women might would like you, but you are too, you just, this Jesus thing is just a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
And if I'm a lot, then you're telling me to be little.
Yeah.
If I'm being too much, so you're telling me to not be so much? Like, what even is that? Like, is how can we word that?
I thought that is so cool that that's how they see me.
Yeah.
Like, I was 5 minutes from singing the national anthem at an event in front of live television. Wow. And I had a gal tell me that, you know, she was like, I just love you so much. And others basically would too, if you were not so Jesus.
Yeah.
And you're just a lot. And I was just like, wow. I mean, like my heart kind of sunk a minute, you know, and I thought, and I almost partnered with that lie.
Oh, I know. We want to
know
that.
Oh yeah. Man, I want people to like me, you know, but then I'm like, wait, ooh, there is nothing like Jesus. No. You know, like he never leaves me nor forsake me. He never tells me to quit.
That's right.
Walking and moving in those places, you know. So I'm just like, oh, you
yeah
know.
I mean, and I've even had a family member tell me, you know, maybe they just don't come to you because your faith so much.
Oh yeah, I've had the
and
same
I'm
thing.
Like, what? Like, if this scares you, I'm okay with you being scared. Like, what does that even mean? You know?
Yeah.
And we want to say like, oh well, maybe I need to cower back.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm telling you that I'm gonna have to answer already for a lot, because we do. You have to answer,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I don't have to answer for my sin, but I have to answer of what I've done since I've accepted Christ in my judgment. And so I know that I want to stand before him and say, you know what? You did the thing. You did get it right at the end, or whatever that may be.
Cause, I always look at Proverbs, like, you know, I love reading Proverbs. The first part of Proverbs is beautiful. Trust in the Lord.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
Lean not on your own understanding. And then you get in the middle of that, and it's kind of calling out all the little things, you
all
know?
The things.
And then I'm like, can we just get to Proverbs 31? Can we just get to that, girl? Because I'd like to eventually get there.
That's right. We want the feel-good stuff.
Yeah.
We do. We want the feel-good in anything that we do. But the thing is there is no feel good forever until we reach eternity.
Yeah.
And if you're going there.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Even if
do you know that you know that you know?
That's it. You know, in the Bible say, that's what I kind of just, a lot of it is self-reflection, like I said earlier. And it's ask yourself those questions like, what is uncomfortable about my faith to me? It might be praying out loud. That's hard for a lot of people. When you teach 40 teenagers like I do, right, and it says, all right, bow your heads. Who wants to lead us in prayer? They all look around like.
Do you ever grab their hand and say, repeat after me?
Oh, yeah. And you know,
JW has done that before. He's been known when people won't pray at life group.
That's it.
Yeah,
that's it.
Yeah, I mean, he's been. He said, "You know what? Just here, grab my repeat after me."
That's good, and that's good. I need to do that more often. And it is. It's just, what does it look like that you want to improve on? Do you want to know more scripture?
Right.
Do you want to know more about this? Do you want to be able to pray? Do you, you know? And the last thing that I ask them is, are you scared of being rejected?
Mm.
And every single person will put a check mark by that most of the time. And the thing is once you realize that Jesus already walked in those shoes, he's already been rejected, then he relates to your rejection.
Yeah.
And he's there to restore you through that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but until you know what he did and what he went through, you don't know that he relates to you.
Right. And he's not going to put you back in that place of rejection.
That's right.
He's going to do a new thing the next time you face it.
Yeah. And he tells you that no matter how you're rejected, you have my approval.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I had to learn too, is like, okay, even if everyone around me loves what I'm doing, but he's displeased with me,
sure,
then I've lost.
Yeah.
And if everyone is displeased with me, but he approves of me, I've won.
Sure.
But that's hard to hold on to, you know?
Yeah.
But the thing is that he is not a, he's a God that wants to multiply anything that you do. And that's what he's done in my life. And that's what I want people to know is try it. Try it, because you won't go back.
Mm-hmm.
You really won't go back.
Yeah.
I, to this day, have never met a person who truly wants to live for Christ and says, I want to go back to how I was. I've never met them.
Right. I mean, they might go back that way.
That's
but it wasn't
right.
Like, they didn't fall into... Nobody ever falls into addiction or adultery or... nobody wants to fall into that. You know, it creeps in slowly.
That's
and,
right.
You know, you start partnering with something that you never woke up to partner with.
That's right.
You know.
And the enemy's a schemer.
Yes,
you know, and he's a studier. And I learned, you know... God revealed to me that he truly does sit back and study me. He knows what times of day I foul up. Mm-hmm. He knows who I'm with when I foul up. He knows all the buttons to push because he studies me. And he knows how to make me trip. And so that's why I have to be anchored in the word every single day.
And that's,
it can't,
you know,
be a thing.
That makes me think of this, like, and I've never really thought of it like this. But when we ask God to examine us, we should ask God to examine our patterns. Mm, you know, because we
good.
Know our patterns. And so that's a really great word. Like what you just said, I was like, oh, well, yeah. Like he does. He knows our old playbook, and that's all the enemy has. And the devil doesn't create.
Mm-mm.
He just finds that comfortable place that you were in, and he goes after something old because he can't. He's not a creator.
That's right.
He's a manipulator.
That's right. We talked earlier, you know, because I love the first thing that God created.
Mm.
The very first thing he said is, and when he spoke, things happened, right?
Yeah.
So when he speaks into my life, I know they're going to happen.
That's right.
Because that's
yes.
what he does.
Yes.
And, you know, whenever he wants to turn the light on anything, it's to, because he wants to replace darkness. And I'm okay with that. I'm okay with him replacing even things that I'm not aware of yet. I ask him, like, Lord, reveal to me whatever it is that you need to inhabit. You know, sometimes those answers that he gives are not easy.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're things or they're people that are dear to me. But I have to know that ultimately it has to be his will, not my own.
Mm-hmm.
Even if I don't know what his will is, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit, he does that for us. He intercedes for us because I don't always know what it looks like. Just like this journey I'm on.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what it looks like. Someone asked me the other day, or they were like, okay, Shell, like, what's your goal? And I was like, I don't know. I really don't know. And then I kind of felt inadequate for like a split second.
Mm-hmm.
And God's like, I can't give you a goal because then you could know if you measured. You could measure if I failed or succeeded.
Yeah.
And if it's truly for him, he looks on the hearts. He knows what's going into the ears in another state that
sure.
I don't know. So I don't need to measure that. I need to just stay in submission to his will.
Right. Because sometimes you can put a limit on yourself. Like right now is where you are and you didn't know this was where you were going to be. And you're already so much more in and there's so much more availability
mm-hmm.
because you just said yes
mm-hmm.
first. And then God prepared all this stuff that you would have maybe set a goal for and maybe not even really fully known that. And I love that God doesn't always, and I'm not one of those people that says don't set a goal, okay? Like, that's
you're right.
There are healthy moments
yes.
in that, but I think that you just can't put a limit on God.
That's right.
You know, we might hit the, want to make sure that we can hit 3 goals in a row or whatever, and we might be shooting for that. But eventually you're going to want to get 4 and 5
mm-hmm.
and 6. So don't put a limit on what God's doing in your life. And another thing I got to thinking is a lot of times we do try to identify with things in the Bible, and we Paul had, and let's just say Mary Magdalene, we don't know what she was delivered of. It just says 7 devils.
Right.
So sometimes we try to identify with other people, especially in the word,
mm-hmm.
and we try to make it super fancy when it's just, I need deliverance. And
that's right.
I don't even know what all is up in this head, but
that's
I need
it.
Some deliverance from this mess because I'm under attack. And the more you start to peel back layers, you start to get to the root, and the word of God is what axes
mm-hmm.
that lie.
Yeah.
And it's applied every day, but it's supposed to be applied with our very breath, as we were even talking about yesterday. Am I a part-time Christian, a sometime Christian, or an all-the-time, every-breath Christian?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I want to be, is that all-the-time, every-breath. When I mess up, I automatically repent, as silly as it may sound. When I'm having a bad day in the morning, I'll look in the mirror and say, girl, you better get together.
Yeah,
like,
shake that off.
You don't even get to act this way. Like, if I'm going to talk to my children in a way where I want them to change, I better be willing to look at myself and say, you better quit.
That's good.
You better quit.
That's good.
I'm all right with being the crazy girl over here.
That's it. And it's just being accountable to
mm-hmm.
him.
Yeah.
You know, he's not like he's laying over our head. Like we said earlier, it's about choices.
That's right.
And to know that we do have access to change.
Yeah.
We can. I don't care how old you are, how young you are.
That's
this
right.
Bible study, even if you don't know who Jesus is, you should do it.
Yeah.
If you're a mature Christian in your faith, you should do it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He's not a access step, meet this plateau, you know?
Yeah.
There's always going to be some sort of influence he can have
sure.
on our lives and in our lives and around us. And we just have to walk in that.
Yeah.
and submit to it, you know? Do what he tells us.
Yeah.
Do what he tells us because he wants the best for us.
That's right.
And because he deserves it because he's already died for the bad.
That's right.
And
that's
and when you just truly accept that for what it is, it you realize that it's so much bigger than what you are. And it's not hard to submit to something that you know is already... Think about that. Think about whatever you did and they said, all right, here you go. Took care of it.
When you know what's already been done.
That's it.
What's already been paid for.
But when we acknowledge the bad rooms in our lives, when we acknowledge the darkness in our lives, it makes us appreciate the light that he brought in.
Yeah.
But when we don't want to acknowledge the dark stuff,
yeah,
we don't give him credit for taking it away, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, it's kind of like this. Like, there was no perfect person except for Jesus in the Bible. We know that. Mm-hmm. And when you think about, I wrote it down here, and let me look at what it said. But I was just kind of there this morning. Okay, yeah. And so I was sitting there thinking about how Jesus never identified Judas as his enemy. He never identified Peter as an enemy or Timothy as an enemy. He identified the principalities working in, on, and through them.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of times, you know, we discredit ourselves without realizing our true identity, and we partner up with a false identity. You know, look at what Judas was, but look at what Paul was, or Peter. He was a liar,
mm-hmm.
you know, and he denied Jesus. Timothy, a doubter. Jesus didn't identify those guys as liars or as doubters. He identified the principalities working in, on, and through them.
That's right.
And though, and as someone that's walking with Jesus, you know, and trying to learn how to do this in a way that is going to constructively help us get corrected, he is such a grace-filled father, but he is not going to, he knew that Timothy was in doubt. He called Peter's lies out, and mm-hmm. he still loved him anyway. Mm-hmm. He still walked through the wall and told Timothy, I mean, here, touch me.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, so a lot of times we start looking at those, we identify and place a false or assign an identity that person who's addicted, that person who's been walking through adultery, that person who's addicted to them, but their very selves or the world. Like we place those identities on that person. We do that to ourselves. We do it to others. It's mm-hmm. easier to look at others than to look at ourselves. It can be super complicated, but if we keep it simple,
that's right.
That's what Jesus did. And Jesus dealt with the principalities on in and through the person, however it may be. But that's really what I felt like the Lord was saying today, like the strategies of the devil, like the enemy is Satan.
That's right.
You know, and you're not going to see Jesus say the enemy is this person. Mm-hmm. No, it was the principalities working in, on, and through that person.
That's right.
And that simplifies it. Mm-hmm. And then you can be like, oh, wait, so-and-so is not the enemy here.
That's right.
It's the devil. And what's working in, on, and through that person, that's where I start pointing my prayers. I invite God in and ask for his perspective, for his discernment, and for his revelation. And he will give it every time. But sometimes it takes a little time for us to really understand how mm-hmm. we're supposed to move through it. And in the meantime, hold on, step back, wait a minute, you know, and then start walking whenever you find that release to do that.
Yeah. And you know, like in Romans, he tells us that he works everything for the good, right? So even all the stuff, like you were naming all the things that we do label ourselves or we label others, God still uses those.
For the good of those that are seeking him.
That's right. Once we turn around, he makes what used to bring us misery be our mission.
That's it.
And that's okay. And it's okay to just be like, okay, Lord, I get it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you can't make that your mission if you're still hiding it.
That's from good.
Him, you know?
That's so
and
good.
And it's okay because that's what he is. You're never too far gone.
No.
You've never done the worst thing. Your sin is not any different or special or more hardcore than the next person's.
Paul was the chief of sinners.
That's it. That's it. And look who wrote the most. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I know.
Hello.
Hello.
He was big time used.
Yeah.
Big time used because he chose to seek after God.
That's right.
And God used all that for the good. And I think we all relate to things that Paul wrote in his letters.
Yeah.
Something of all those letters you relate to. And so look how much good God brought to us through that. And that's what I want to be. That's what he wants all disciples of him to be, is say, let them come to me and bring them to me. And you follow me and I will teach you.
Yeah.
And I just want to be receptive to whatever he has to teach.
Yeah, absolutely. Lord, I just thank God for what you're doing here. And I'm super excited to see the revelation that people are going to get, a deeper revelation, not just to dive into the word to see what it says about them, but to see what it actually says about God. Because mm-hmm. our true identity is in Christ and in Christ alone. So that word that you're going to be teaching to them, it's not going to change. But it's them who are changing. It's That's them. It. It's they, whoever it may be, who are going to be joining you on this study to be able to shift into a new gear and to transform into a new image. And to go into the ground like that seed and come up looking like that watermelon, it's going to take a little bit of effort to be submissive and surrender mm-hmm. to Jesus, because that's going to be a new thing. Mm-hmm. So that's super exciting. I'm so excited to see what God's going to bring from this.
Me too. And they
don't have to be a watermelon. They can be a cucumber. That's Some people want to be tall and skinny.
You can just be a little sprout for all I care, as long as you got something. As long as you got something.
I'm going to go get my onions now. Plant the onions. They don't need much room.
You better. They don't. They don't take up a lot in your garden.
That's so good.
But they got a lot of flavor.
That's
okay. And I do. I think that he's going to do a mighty work. He's already done a mighty work in me just through this.
Amen.
And yeah. I know what he tells me. And yeah. I have to hold on to that, because the devil put way too much doubt in me, because that's his job. Mm. So I have to cling on to what God's job is in my life and in my heart and through this study and whatever comes from it. I don't know. My prayer is that it reach rooms that I'll never walk in.
Yeah.
That's why we're wanting to do it online. That's why we're wanting people to be able to access it through a podcast.
So share how they can get, how they can get connected with you. And how they can connect with the teaching, the study.
The first thing you need to do is you need to go on Instagram, Facebook, and you need to follow Impact Over Influence. That's what you need to do. On Facebook first, there's going to be a sign up button. You're not going to get a bunch of junk mail, because I'm anti that. But you are going to be aware, however you choose, to be aware that a new study's out. You will have access to a new part of the study every Tuesday morning. I've been really encouraging people that if you've got a coworker, or you've got a niece, or you've got a grandma, or you've got whatever, even a small group, put this on in your home. Stream it to your TV. Press play. I'm going to do all the hard work. Open in prayer. Don't make this hard. We make discipling so hard, and it doesn't have to be hard. Yeah. It's just the word of God. He does the rest of it, and he says his word will not return void. It's not hard. It's not on us. So I've just encouraged people to really get somebody they can do it with. You can do it on your own. You don't have to have, we're gonna give you everything you need. You need a pen, and you do need a Bible. If you don't have access to a Bible, message us on the page and we will mail you one. You can get it on an app on your phone. But I just truly, truly, I know that how many tears my Bible has held. So I always encourage people to get the actual word of God, because the cell phone batteries die. His word doesn't. So, but you're going to have to go ahead and follow that on Instagram. It's Impact O Influence instead of Over, but it should pull up. That's exactly the name of the podcast. That's going to be two. So there's going to be a lot of good ways that you can incorporate yourself in this. You can reach out to us if you have questions. I've not been to seminary. I'm not a Bible scholar. But I do have access to the Holy Spirit. And so that's truly all I need.
As well as leadership.
That's right. If you've got a question, if I can't find the answers, we'll find someone who can, and we'll pray about it and we'll figure it out, because, he's not a God. He's not the author of confusion.
That's right.
And he doesn't want us to be that way. But, I'm super excited. You're getting in the right time, because you haven't missed a thing.
Well, I just signed up. So it was that simple. It literally took less than a minute and a half to get signed up.
There you go.
So I went to Impact Over Influence on Facebook. There's no spaces in between. I hit the little sign up, led me to Google, got signed up. We're good to go.
Awesome. Well, I pray over you and everybody who's going to be on this journey with me. I pray that you're patient with me, that you're kind to me, because I've never done this before. And I'm okay with saying that, because I know that he has.
Yeah.
And I know whenever it is successful that he gets the only glory for it, because I'm not capable of doing any of this on my own. Mm. And I know that he is going to touch so many hearts and bring so many to him through this, because he's told me so. So I just pray whatever is in your life, whatever's going on that he is putting in your life to be able to be used for him and to be disciple of, that you just choose to say yes, and that you don't have to have all the answers.
Yeah.
You don't have to know the outcome, because obedience isn't knowing the outcome.
That's right.
It's knowing who you honor. That's it. And if you'll just do that, you don't need to know all the details. I right now don't know all the details.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
That's right.
But just tell him, yeah, say, yeah, whatever it is, Lord, that you have, that's what I want.
That's right.
That's the whole goal and the whole purpose of all of this.
Well, I love you, and we love you all who got to listen. Share this podcast. Get all your friends hooked up on this Bible study. And yeah, thanks so much. I love you so much.
Awesome. I love you too.
Okay, guys. We love you guys. Be blessed in Jesus.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. And if you have any questions about the podcast or questions for Leanne, please check out her website at leannhartministries.com. That's L-E-A-N-N-H-A-R-T ministries.com. If you'd like to book Leanne, you can do that for your services or event, and you can go to bookings on leannhartministries.com. Thank you for listening to today's podcast. If you'd like to connect with Leanne, you can do that by reaching out on social media, whether it's Facebook, Instagram, or YouTube, as well as leannhartministries.com.